We are week three of our message series, A Matter of Life and Death. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little stir crazy. I'm ready to see you guys again. But until that happens, we're so super proud of you for joining us each week online. And I hope you're enjoying the worship, and I hope you're connecting with the messages. I hope you're involved in one of our Zoom groups and going over the questions about the messages. And there's so many opportunities to connect. Women are doing a Bible study together. Really, really cool season to make some new, inventive, and creative connections. So really, really proud of you guys. Thankful for you, but cannot wait to see you again. Hey, like I said, we are in part three of this message series, and I've titled it Stop Dancing with the Dead. And the reason I kind of came up with that title is because I have always been super fond of this video. It's so disturbing, but it's so cute at the same time. And I want to show it to you, and then maybe you'll understand why I mean Stop Dancing with the Dead. All right, take a look.
All right. Hey, what is that you have there, Thea?
A squirrel. It's dead.
You have a dead squirrel, huh?
Uh-huh. Whee!
Huh.
A dead squirrel.
What are you going to do after this?
I'm going to put it right here.
Why is the squirrel dead? Do you know?
Because Ivy. Ivy ate it.
She
Ivy
did?
Ate it. Now take a video of the mom.
Look at this baby squirrel. Wanna touch him? Baby squirrel. He's my friend.
I wonder if she'll be vegetarian after this.
All right. Well, you can see how cute that is, but really how disturbing it is when a little girl is kind of dancing around and cuddling this dead squirrel. There's something in us as adults that really tries to communicate to our kids to leave dead things alone. But you and I as adults have a lot to learn about leaving dead things alone. In other words, there are some things in our life that God means to go into the grave and stay in the grave, and us not to keep resurrecting those things and bringing them back to life. And so that's what we're going to talk about for just a few minutes. So if you went onto the website to watch this, you can actually download the notes and you can print those off and write those, or you can just hop on your Summit Church app actually and do the notes there as well. Hey, so we've got the screen now, and you can be able to follow scripture along with me right there, or it's going to come up on your screen as well. So the only way to stop dancing with dead things in my life is, number one, stop going where dead things are. Stop going where dead things are. So here's a little part of my history I don't think I ever shared with you guys. So this is good that you're tuning in today, because you're going to learn something new about me. When I was in Bible college, I had two close friends that worked at a funeral home, and they actually lived at the funeral home while they worked there. And the reason is because their responsibility was to pick up dead bodies after hours when the funeral director wasn't there. So during normal business hours, the funeral director would take care of that. But then after hours, after like 5 or 6 p.m. until the next morning, these two guys were on call. So they'd have to answer the phone and they'd have to go retrieve dead bodies. So we would hang out at the funeral home because they had this upstairs apartment. It was sort of like three stories high. There was a basement where they would embalm the bodies and prepare the bodies. And then there was the main floor where the funerals would take place and the viewings would take place and the bodies would be on display. And then there was upstairs where the apartment was. And that's where we would hang out. And so it was kind of an attractive thing, a weirdly attractive thing for all these college students. We would, about 8 or 10 of us would go hang out at Richard and Dexter's. And we would all go upstairs and play cards and eat junk food. And let me tell you something. Here's an interesting fact that no matter how many of us were upstairs, how many living people there were upstairs, even if there was one dead body in that building, and there was always at least one dead body in that building, that place belonged to the dead body. You, no matter how many living people there were, you knew that that place existed for that dead body. And I out of sheer morbid curiosity, would sometimes even go with Dexter when he would have to pick up a body after hours. And Richard maybe wouldn't be around, and so he'd ask me to go with him. And I would drive in the hearse with him, and then we would go to either a nursing home or a hospital, wherever the body happened to be, and I would help him move the body onto a gurney, zip it up in the bag, and then transport it back down, maybe through an elevator, and then out to the hearse, and then have to move the body back in to the funeral home. And I'm gonna be super, super honest with you. I felt like I needed to take like 10 showers to get the sense of death off of me. I say all that because when we are in contact with the dead, we're certainly, or we're certain that we are in contact with the dead. And the way to avoid being around death is to not go where dead things are. And listen to what Jesus says in Luke 9:59-62. Jesus turned to another and said, "Come be my disciple." That man replied, "Someday I will, Lord, but allow me first to fulfill my duty as a good son and wait until my father passes away." Other translations will say, I must return and bury my father. But he was really just saying, I'm going to wait until my father dies. And Jesus told him, "Don't wait for your father's burial. Let those who are already dead wait for death. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere that God's kingdom has arrived." Still another said to him, "Lord, I want to follow you too. But first let me go." You think the man would have learned his lesson listening to that conversation, but he said, "Lord, I want to follow you too, but first let me go home and say goodbye to my entire family." Jesus responds and says, "Why do you keep looking backward to your past and have second thoughts about following me? When you turn back, you are useless to God's kingdom." Now, a lot of people feel uncomfortable with this whole exchange, and here's why. Because it seems as if Jesus is saying you shouldn't have allegiance or alliance or any kind of faithfulness to your family. I mean, how mean of Jesus to say he can't go wait for his father to die. But what Jesus was really saying was, you're just waiting on death. You're not living. You're just waiting for something to die. And you have a stronger connection to waiting on death than you do on living life. And to the other man, he says, you just seem to be finding an excuse. If you truly wanted to follow me, there wouldn't be a but. I need to go do this. It sort of feels like conversations I have with people who seem to have difficulty following God when other things are competing for their attention. And it's, "Lord, I want to follow you too, but I just need to finish college." A lot of young people, 18 to 21 years old, seem to want to put their Christianity on hold while they go have the college experience. "Lord, I'll get serious about following you as soon as I find a spouse." And that's why I see so many people end up in broken relationships, because them being a person of faith wanted so desperately to be married that they went out and found somebody who wasn't a person of faith, and it's a foundation for disaster in their marriage. "Lord, I want to follow you as soon as things settle down at work. I can get the promotion. I can start making the money I need to make. Then I'll start giving. Then I'll start serving. Then I'll start getting really serious about following you. But in order to do that, Lord, I need to get these things taken care of." What we're really saying is we want to get things that are more important to us out of the way first. Can I just challenge you with this? There's always going to be something that your flesh tells you is more important than following Christ. And one of those things might just be, I want to be able to have fun. I want to be able to do what I want to do. Well, we call that sin. And when sin goes into the ground, we love being around the things that we know were meant to die on the cross. We love being around the things we know were meant to stay in the grave, but we kind of like hanging out in the graveyard because that's where some of our best relationships are. That's where some of our best friendships are. That's where some of our best memories are, is with the things that only bring death to our life. Listen to Romans 6:1-7. It says this, "So do you think we should continue sinning so that God will give us more and more grace? Of course not. Our old sinful life ended. It's death. It's dead. For those of us who are followers of Christ, we're not supposed to keep sinning. So how can we continue to live in sin? Did you forget that all of us became part of Christ Jesus when we were baptized? In our baptism, we shared in his death. So when we were baptized, we were buried with Christ and took part in his death. And listen, as just as Christ was raised from death by the wonderful power of the Father, so now we can live a new life. Christ died and we've been joined with him by dying too. Do you see how many times it says that over and over? We died, our old selves, our old sinful selves died too. So we will also be joined with him by raising from death as he did. This is what I want to have you kind of highlight in your notes. We know that our old life was put to death on the cross with Christ. This happened so that our old sinful selves would have no power over us. Then we would not be slaves to sin. Anyone who has died is made free from sin's control. And that actually leads us to my second and final point. And it's this: the only way to stop dancing with the dead things in my life is to, number two, put a final nail in the coffin. Put a final nail in the coffin. So listen, the thing about temptation is it's really, tempting, right? I mean, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. We wouldn't call it temptation if it wasn't tempting. I've used this analogy before. I'm not tempted by broccoli or Brussels sprouts or things that are super healthy. Like I love junkier food. I love a good salty potato chip and a ranch dressing, or I love fried chicken and buttery mashed potatoes. I'm tempted by all the things that aren't good for me, and I'm rarely tempted by things. I'm never tempted to get up at 5 a.m. and run 5 miles. Never tempted to do that. So sin is super tempting, and it has a power over our lives. Anybody who's had an addiction of any sort, and I'm talking an addiction to food, an addiction to caffeine, an addiction to cigarettes, an addiction to alcohol or drugs, an addiction to pornography, an addiction to anger, anything that we've sort of been addicted to, and most of us have experienced that on some level, that addiction has a power over us. So most of you know the name Ozzy Osbourne, and he said the most addicting thing in his life, the hardest habit for him to break, wasn't drugs, but cigarettes. There are certain things, whether they're easy for someone else or hard for somebody else, they are almost impossible for us to get control over. We try to gain control over sin in our lives, and we just continue to fall in the same things. We swear we'll never do this thing again because we feel this guilt afterwards. We feel this remorse afterwards. We feel this conviction by the Holy Spirit afterwards, and we promise ourselves that we'll never do it again. And what happens? We do it all again. And it shows us that we are absolutely 100% incapable of overcoming sin in our lives. And here's why. Listen, it is because sin is supernatural. And what I mean by that is sin is a spiritual issue. Even though our bodies engage with sin, our bodies are the vessel and the portal where sin sort of plays out. It starts in our mind and then works its way out through our body. Even though our body is culpable in our sin, listen, it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And we don't have the spiritual strength within ourselves to fight that sin alone. You can't use natural power, your willpower, to fight supernatural force in your life. Okay, listen to what Jesus says in Hebrews 10:10. And I'm going to read actually a few scriptures right in a row, and I want you to see if you can identify the theme, the common thread that goes through all those. Okay, listen. Jesus Christ did things God wanted him to do. He was obedient to God's will. And because of that, we are made holy, set apart for a purpose, purified for a purpose, through the sacrifice of Christ's body. Christ made that sacrifice one time. Most translations will say once and for all, but I love this one. It says one time, enough for all times. Then listen to Romans 6:10. It says, when Jesus died, he died once and for all time. He did this to break the power of sin. Now that he lives in the power of God. I want you to see that for just a second, because I want you to recognize that when Jesus died and he took on the punishment of sin and he took on the weight of sin, he took on the past, present, and future sin of all humanity, he died once for that. Because that's the only, he doesn't need to keep doing it over and over and over, because his authority over sin is absolutely complete. And that means you and I have no business revisiting the tomb of our sin and resurrecting it. We have to drive the nail in and keep that sin secure in the grave. Now listen to what it says in Ephesians 1:7. Since we are now joined to Christ, since we are now joined in his resurrection, we've been given the treasures of redemption by his blood. In other words, we've been snatched back from the power of sin. Sin no longer has authority over us. The total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. In other words, all because of the pure blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for you and I. So I want to leave you with this. We have to decide if we're going to get busy living or if we're just going to keep dancing around with dead things in our life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you, because of the story that we covered last week, the resurrection of Christ, because of his death on the cross, the power of sin was broken. And because of the resurrection, we get to live in the victory over sin. If you want to follow Christ and really, really live, you can't keep celebrating the dead things in your life. You can't keep following around the dead things. You can't keep spending time and dancing with dead things. If you want to overcome the power of sin, you have to let those things die. You have to let those things die in your life. And if you want to walk in the strength and power of what Jesus did on the cross, then you have to allow His authority crushed the power of sin in your life. You can do this because he's empowered you to do it. I don't walk in any greater level of holiness than anyone else. As a matter of fact, like Paul, I would call myself the chief of sinners, but I'm also the chief of grace because I know where to go for God's grace. The Bible says that when we sin, we have an advocate who goes to the Father on our behalf. That's God's promise to you. Your failure doesn't define you. So let me pray for you guys, and then we're going to end. And I want to encourage you, hop into a small group. As soon as this is over, get onto a Zoom group, and there's going to be some questions you can cover about this message today. Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. His place in our life is complete. It's whole. It's absolute. It's not meant to be. Jesus, as soon as I'm done with this, I will commit myself to following you. As soon as I am done living my life, then I can start living the life you planned for me. That's not the way it works. If we want to be fully committed followers of Christ, we have to walk away from the dead things in our life. And anything that distracts us or keeps us from him is a dead thing. Anything that has greater priority, greater authority, greater purpose, or greater power in our lives, those things are God to us, and we have to walk away from this because those things lead to death. God's kingdom leads to life. And so I pray for anyone who has not yet begun a relationship with you that in the quietness of this moment, they would just breathe out this prayer, Lord, I believe in you, and I want to be a follower of you. I want you in my life. I want you to be the Lord over every area of my life. And so I pray for the forgiveness of all of my sin, the things that I've done that I knew were sin and the things that I've done that I didn't even know were disobedience to you. And if you'll erase all of those things from my life, I'll start new life today with you. And that's my prayer. I receive you. And for every person that's a believer, that they would just pray in authority right now. God, help me leave the dead things behind in my life. Help me walk away to shower off the residue of death in my life and live in the freedom of a resurrected life in Christ, the power and authority to not live under the bondage and slavery of sin. And God, I receive that. I claim it over every single person who prayed that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. I'm proud of you. Looking forward to seeing you again soon.